In South Carolina's land, Queen Haley's domain, where her influence held sway. But then came Donald Trump, with audacity unseen. He crowned himself king without a murmur from the queen. Everybody, this is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up. Hello, everybody. It's great to be back. I was out of town for the weekend. I'm a conservative, as all of you know, but I spent the past weekend at a libertarian convention. I had to think on that, libertarian convention. It's equivalent of any other of a Democrat-Republican convention. The truth is Grumley's Media has two camps, a libertarian and a conservative camp. And I'm a team player. Our New York libertarian couldn't get out to the convention, so I headed out there. And I had a blast. Great time. Met some great people. I've become a bit of friends. I've had a few meetings with them, with the San Diego Libertarian Chair. I'm a full-throated conservative, so no worries there. Believe it or not, people take offense to that. You know, to that, you're talking to the other party. I mean, that's how tribal we become across the board, and not necessarily in terms of culture or color, but in political ideology. But that said, we are here to talk about the South Carolina primary. Look, we have primaries tomorrow, but I wanted to get my 2 cents in for the simple fact this is Nikki Haley's home state. Period. End of story. It's her home state, and as expected, she got shellacked. So, Let's talk South Carolina primary. An overview of it, the delegates awarded. There are 29 delegates awarded to the winner of the statewide vote. There are 21 delegates that are allocated according to the vote in each of the state's 7 congressional districts. So delegates are apportioned from the total electorate of primary voters, and delegates are apportioned in accordance with the votes in each of the 7 congressional districts. So congressman, congresswoman, in terms of that type of breakdown. Let's look at some of the results. Votes, 452,000 individuals, I'm rounding up and down, voted for Donald Trump. 300,000 voted for Nikki Haley. That translates to Trump winning 60% of the vote. He was technically just shy of that, but 60% of the vote. Nikki Haley, 40% of the vote. She was just under 40%. And Trump, I saw 2 reports, quite a few reports, and then I hit AI up, said that Trump won 50 delegates. But on some of the official tracking outlets, I saw where Trump won 47 delegates and Nikki Haley won 3. Now, if you notice, I said Nikki Haley was shy of 40% and Donald Trump was shy of 60%. That's because Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, Chris Christie, an individual you may not know, and Ryan Binkley and David Steckenberg, they all combined to take 0.7% of the vote, approximately 5,200 total votes. Obviously, no delegates won. Excuse me. But that is the breakdown of the South Carolina primary. So voter turnout. Well, voter turnout, what I want to talk about is some of the exit polling that does give us clues towards other upcoming primaries, as well as a general where people's minds are at this moment in time. Remember, all polling is nothing but a snapshot in time. If we had a big negative event tomorrow, this polling would be thrown out the window. But for political election cycles, they tend to hold true as you consistently poll weekly, and that's where we're at right now. And we're going to talk about the exit polling in South Carolina. So I want to give a hat tip to the Washington Post and how different groups voted in the South Carolina primary according to exit polls. Now, what an exit poster does is they stand outside of voter turnout, come up to you, ask you a question, would you be willing to talk to us? And I've never had that happen to me, but I'm assuming that's how they do it, what I've been told, and the person decides whether they want to do it or not. So I'm going to hit some of the key questions. And the reason I'm going to hit this one first is it's extremely important. You hear a lot now. This is what you've heard since 2000. White evangelical Christians and voters without college degrees. Before we became tribal, and to Black America, y para mi Latinos, before they wanted to separate us and have us fighting at each other's throats, they used to call that the working class vote. Really, that's all it was. Because most Americans don't have college degrees, and most Americans are working class voters, and most Americans, Black and white, are Christians. You know, so now, so over the last two and a half decades, since W, at least, Bush number two, this is how they play the race card. This gives the mind that puts in your mind, oh, those are white racist people. That's why they say it this way, and it's meant as propaganda. Why, look, people, 70% of America is white. You add in other light-skinned minorities, and that really exponentially jumps up. Only 10% of Americans, 10 to 13%, tend to be Black or brown, you know? So this is an example of controlling and creating a false narrative subliminally. And they do this over time, and it's, look at today. We're nothing but tribal people. We are headed to a race war, which means we are headed towards genocide. And common sense folks like myself, who have both Black and white and everything in the middle, skin-wise, not to mention culturally, we're rich, poor, gay, straight. We have it all. So this is something that I'm working to help prevent. But mark my words, if we don't change and look within ourselves, there will be something terrible and horrific that will happen down the road. And maybe that's what the Democrats want. Who knows? Maybe that's what the elitists in the Republican Party who refuse to fight for our values want. Who knows? But that is one of the terms you're going to hear every exit poll, white evangelical Christians and voters without college degrees. Translation to Black America, y para mi Latinos, that's just all of us called the working class. Propaganda that they want you to think it's only whites, because it's not. And y'all know that. Y'all work alongside one another. So let's look at some of the exit polling. Gender, 75% of men voted for Trump, 60% of women voted for Trump. Trump dominated. Race, 60% of white voters voted for Trump, and this is seen as bad by the mainstream media. But remember, 70% of America make up whites. In fact, that number's higher. And don't get me started when 90-95% of Black Americans voted for Obama the second go-round, and we all know Obama really pretty much bent you over, said, you're going to vote for me anyway. I don't have to do anything to help you. And he did it, and you still voted. So before y'all start playing the race, I want to say before y'all, I'm talking about the Democrat Party and the mainstream media, take a step back, people, both white and Black, and understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to separate us, the key, put us at one another's throats. We both have good and bad within both cultures and skin colors. So they did not give a number to this. What is the percentage of Black and minority voters who supported Trump? The Washington Post did not give the numbers they came up with during their exit polling. I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming they probably did this exit polling in conjunction with somebody else, probably 538. But I don't know. This article from the Washington Post, I get it for free. I have MSN as my startup page, and they get a lot of paywall articles free on there. So Trump won a smaller majority of non-white Republican voters in the state, and they did not tell us what percentage. They don't want to tell us. They don't want to tell you that we Latinos are starting to gravitate more and more to Donald Trump. I see it here in California all the time. And what does the California GOP do? Squat! You know? Age. Most GOP and all age groups voted for Trump than Haley. Again, no number was given. The Republican Party needs to show how it's doing in certain demographics. And the only reason I can think of, the Washington Post doesn't want to post that number, it's a number they don't want us to see. Or they don't want us to look at it because it shows Trump's numbers are growing. And they are. There's no doubt about that. They are. Education. 60% of GOP voters aren't college educated. About 75% I'm sorry, 60% of GOP voters that voted in the primary aren't college educated, and about 75% of them voted for Trump. Trump's base is the working class. Again, para mí Latinos, two black Americans, Trump is representing those of us who work for a living, those of us who have to sit there and watch, you know, our P's and Q's to make sure we properly budget in accordance with what we make. This perception that he's working for the rich white man is an absolute lie created by rich white Democrat men and women. Haley won over 50% of those with college degrees. Haley's winning the rich vote, the vote that doesn't care what laws bend us over. Why? Because it doesn't matter. They make enough to where they don't have to worry about any of these laws, any of these taxes. They can survive it. So they don't look at our plight, at the plight of hardworking Americans, at the plight of the backbone of America. They only look at the plight of their caviar delivery service. Haley's current base are Democrat donors and Democrat crossover voters. Look, here's a reality. I always sit there and say politics is downstream of pop culture. This doesn't quite qualify, but it's like you have to look at things within context. Democrat voters voting in a Republican primary are rarely going to tell the exit posters, yeah, we're Democrats. They say, no, we're independents. So most of those independent voters are purposely stating independent because they don't want you to know they're Democrats. Why? I don't know. You know, maybe they think they're being cute. Suburbanite, white-collar jobs, not living check to check, nice home, steady income. And God bless them. I just wish they would not have forgotten how they got there. I always tell people who work with me or under me, never forget who helped you up or your climb up the corporate ladder, because one day we're going to be going down. To these people who vote for Haley, it's a game. My ideology is superior to yours, even though they don't have any proof. They just, that's the side they've chosen to take. Family incomes. Haley did best with the rich. Slightly less than 50% of voters who earn over $100K voted for her. Approximately 60 to 66% of voters with incomes less than 50K voted for Trump. In that same demographic, 50 to 99K. So in essence, the voter who voted, who makes less than 100,000 voted for, two-thirds voted for Donald Trump. Party self-identification. This is very important. This is an open state, which means I should have said this at the beginning. I apologize. This is an open primary, which means anybody can vote in a Republican primary. So 70% of the self-identified Republicans voted for Trump. These are people who are seeking to nominate who they want to represent their political party, the Republican Party. 70%. Most of the independents, aka Democrats, voted for Nikki Haley. The Washington Post refused to state the percentage. I saw one report as high as 50%, but I can't confirm that, so that's why I didn't put it in my notes. But what we're talking, big monster numbers of independent and Democrats, not Republicans, of trying to – it's election interference. It's legal, but they're still interfering in the GOP primary to cause chaos. Again, propaganda by not sharing the truth to hide the reality that Haley's voters in all these open primaries are non-Republican voters. Ideology. 60% of the somewhat conservative voters. That number tends to stay the same, approximately the same in every state. And Trump won that 60% of that voter. This is the most important voter. The average Joe is conservative in many ways, except for extreme conservatism. I would fall into the somewhat conservative voters. I am the type of guy who I agreed literally with everything conservative, but I have degrees of how much I would push for certain issues. You know, for example, I am more fiscal conservative than I am a social conservative. It's funny because originally the Republican Party was known as the party that wanted to get in your bedroom. Now it's the Democrats wanting to get in your bedroom and participate in there with you and not give you a choice. So 80% of the conservative voters voted for Donald Trump. 60% of the somewhat conservative voted for him as well. Haley won 70% of the moderate and or liberal voters. Translation, she tended to win the progressive vote. Her base isn't Republicans, but liberals voting in the primary who will vote Democrat in the general. The likelihood of this portion claiming to be Republican is high based on human nature and not wanting to expose the con, but come general election day, they're voting Democrat. So let's get to the white evangelical Christians. Again, the working class, 70% of the vote, or 70% voted for Donald Trump. And you have to remember, there's probably more fundamentalists there than there are somewhat conservative, because it's a Bible Belt state. Look, there was no mass shootings, or the outsiders couldn't come in and influence South Carolina like they did other states, Missouri, Virginia, because it is a Bible Belt state, and it's a Bible Belt state where, yeah, you have your Baptist all-black churches. You have predominant all-white Baptist churches, too. But for most of the other churches, you will see a strong mix of black, white, Asian, and Latinos, and they all love each other as brothers and sisters. Why? I lived that life for many years. Trump winning 60% of the somewhat conservative, 80% of the conservative voters is not strange. The white evangelical voters, or again, the working class, made up 70% of the vote. Trump winning that easily is not surprising. Haley winning slightly more than 50% of the non-white evangelical, she won the black Democrat vote, is what she won there. So, are you voting for or against your candidate? 75% of the voters made Trump their choice before February. 75% of the voters decided in February or on the week of or day of, they voted for Haley. And remember, she won the crossover vote of so-called independents. Reality check, they're Democrats, and they don't decide until late to go out and vote. Should I go vote? Because it's not important to them. But some of them make it important enough to go out and get out and vote. They don't tend, human nature dictates, they won't tend to decide to go out and vote on the day of until a day or a few days prior. And that's how it is with making final decisions on issues people hem and haw. That's human nature. On issues that matter, 40% of the primary voters made immigration their number one issue. Donald Trump won 80% of the voters on primary day who put immigration number one. He won 60% of the voters who stated the economy is the number one issue. 50% plus who stated foreign policy and abortion are the top issues voted for Haley. This is something the Republican Party and Donald Trump is going to have to break down extremely carefully, because this is an Achilles heel come election day because of the fundamentalists. My mom's a fundamentalist. My two sisters are fundamentalists. You know, I know where this mindset is. I know how it thinks. I know how it acts. And most importantly, I know how it votes. So it's something that you have to strategize, that Republicans do not strategize well at all for election day voters. So for general election day voters. So they need to sit there and make sure they understand that. Once again, 80% of voters who stated immigration is the number one issue voted for Donald Trump. 60% who said the economy is the number one issue voted for Donald Trump. Foreign policy and abortion aren't on most voters' mind. 73% of the voters' minds are not on abortion or foreign policy, but it's still a topic that must be dealt with carefully. All right, candidate qualities. I argue, and I beat him day in and day out, my partner, Libertarian Big John, because he's more of an academic. I'm more of a – I've been out there. I've experienced real life. I'm also not an academic, but I've read a lot. I've studied a lot. You have to do all these things to be part of the party system, to hold your own, to be able to battle others in the party system. You know, and as a son of parents who come from third world countries and living under two dictators, the one hope the oppressed want is a fighter, or rather, they want a fighter who gives them hope. That was Obama, and that's Donald Trump. 90% of the voters in the primary voted for Trump, who want a fighter. Never Trump and TDS individuals, they don't want or refuse to believe constituents want representatives who champion and fight for them. They just look at it purely on policy. They don't want to understand the plight of the black or brown or working class or poor white. They don't care about what you've gone through in life. Those who don't believe in this just see it from their political ideology. Again, most of these people don't live check to check. They don't have to worry. They've done well with the American dream. So God bless them, but stop looking down on others, because you are. Those who share their values, Trump took 75% of that vote. In defeating Biden, Trump won the majority of those votes. But again, the Washington Post wouldn't say what that number. The Washington Post is purposely hiding certain numbers from us, or they purposely don't ask. Those who want the right temperament, 90% voted for Haley. Again, people love emotion. They want a champion. This new internet era we are in, charisma will be the number one key decider in future elections, if not already. So these boring, as I used to call them, boring old white guys, but hell, you know, there's a lot of boring old black guys. Ben Carson comes to mind. A lot of boring Latinos, a lot of boring Polish, German, you name it. The point is, the old way of politics is dying and will be dead within a cycle or two. So the right temperament is no longer going to be important as it used to be before technology reared its ugly head. Professionalism and how you carry yourself still is important. But the right temperament, are you kidding me? You get a modern, go to a black Baptist church. Go to an animated white church with the personalities there. That's what wins the day. That's why I said charisma will be an important factor down the road. You know, okay, let's get to the abortion. 80% of those who favor federal law banning all or most abortions voted for Trump. 40% of the voter turnout opposed that ban, and most of them supported Haley. The reason I said that is, so what they're saying is, out of the half a million voters that showed up, 40%, so approximately, say, 200,000 supported Haley. But they didn't give you a specific number. The abortion is their trick up their sleeve. And so they don't like giving numbers out. That's purposely done there. People who want illegal aliens deported, 75% of them voted for Trump. Haley won the voters who want legal status for illegal aliens. Look, that's a black and white question given to a gray area. I want all illegal aliens deported. But I want every anchor child, or what do they call them? Dream, whatever, dreamers, whatever. Those need to be looked at case by case by case. You can't throw somebody out of the country who was born and raised in this country, doesn't even speak his home country's language. You know, so we have to have compassion and common sense. So that's a black and white question to a gray area. Do you think Donald Trump is qualified to be president if convicted of a crime? 60% of the primary voters were like, yeah, he's fit for office. I don't care. I'm in that boat, too. And I'm not in that boat because of my belief. I'm in that boat because you can be a convicted criminal and run for Congress. You know, so, again, no specific numbers were given. Why? Because the left, the progressives, the mainstream media, the Democrat Party, racists, black supremacists, white supremacists, everybody who votes Democrat, they want and believe Trump's legal issues can take him down, as do Haley and her camp. He's not fit. 90% of them voted for Haley. Look, Haley's not fit neither. I mean, she's a harlot who went from working class to a multimillionaire by working and doing the bidding of the military-industrial complex. I mean, she's on her knees, on their teeth, and went from being worth about $100,000 to being worth about $8 million. Yeah, so she's not fit in my eyes to run for office. Voted for or against an opponent? I kind of semi-answered this. 70% of voters who voted for Trump voted for him, not against another candidate. 80% of Haley's voters voted against Trump, not for Haley. And say if 50% of those voters aren't Republicans, they're just crossover voters. 30%, she only has 30% of the actual base there in terms of her own state, not the 40% she claims. And out of those 80%, 50% would vote Democrat the day of. So she is in on the con. You know? First time, okay, I don't even care about that one. Well, I guess it makes sense. It aligns with the crossover vote. First time or long time GOP primary voters. 75% of Republican voters who voted before voted for Trump. In essence, Trump owns the Republican vote. 75% of registered Republicans have voted before and wanted Trump. First time voters, Republican voters, because you declared the day of, voted for Haley. Again, no specific numbers were given. So that's some of the exit polling voter breakdown. This is important because it helps create strategy and tactics for the campaigns and gives us an idea, us political junkies, of where the country stands, or at least the state of Florida. Each state's going to be different in certain aspects, but primarily you'll see generally speaking, you'll see similarities along these percentages. So what are the results and takeaways of the South Carolina primary? Well, let's give an overview. Once again, crossover votes give the perception that Haley has Republican support. She does not. She has Republican. Oh my God. Once again, crossover voters give the perception that Haley has Republican support. I don't know if I said establishment, but I meant Republican support. What she really has is establishment and rich white support. That's her donor base, along with black Democrats who really don't really even understand what they're voting for at times. And it's not just black. It's the uneducated. I'm not talking the school education. I'm talking political and ideological education. And it's not just blacks. There's plenty of my brethren Latinos, plenty of my brethren Anglos, and of course, plenty of black Americans. That's who she gets. There's a reason they indoctrinate us, people. They don't want us to understand a lot of policies within context, within how it's directly affecting us and impacting us. But the machine that is driving Nikki Haley's campaign is establishment, rich, white supporters. The takeaway from this is, once again, the mainstream media refuses to tell the truth by creating false narratives or by not telling you the full truth. She suffered double-digit losses in every state despite crossover voting, including the U.S. Virgin Islands. You know, they held their caucus. She's also beginning to lose funding. She has no path. Thus, she's looking to build herself up as the next party leader, meaning she's the next in line. She'll be seen as the leading presidential candidate. Look, a lot can happen in 4 years. That's what Christie thought in 2012. And we saw how that's gone. You know, she's also hoping that Trump's legal woes finally get to him. She's hoping for everything vile and evil to happen to others so she can enrich and benefit herself off of that. Think about that as a in terms of how you look at her as a human being. Remember, this is the same woman who slept around, whored around her husband. That's fine with consenting adults. My point being, that's none of my business. But it becomes everyone's business when she tries to use the fact her husband is a combat veteran to portray herself along similar lines. That's when I have issues. If you're going to cheat on your husband, that's fine. But don't drag him into your politics for gain, which is what you do every single time. Now, there are hints that Super Tuesday may be her last hurrah. Look, there's over a dozen contests on Super Tuesday, and you need approximately 1,200 to 1,300 delegate count. And at that point, when Super Tuesday is over, we'll be close to 1,000 total delegates having been distributed. So that's why you're seeing hints of Super Tuesday being her last hurrah. If she doesn't make an impact, her support base, or at least her donor base of individual donors, will dry up. Trump is also gaining support outside Republican circles among blacks and Latinos as well. And again, they did not want to give their number in terms of how that broke down. Supporters view Trump as more electable. And that is despite the mainstream media echoing only establishment beliefs. The only people you're saying that Trump can win are political junkies heavily involved in campaigns or working for the parties, as well as the politicians themselves. You don't hear that from the working class or the actual voter. Part of Haley's game plan entering South Carolina was to gain momentum, and she failed. A hat tip to Nikki Haley said she only needed to get more than 43% in her home state of South Carolina. She just failed to hit that goal. That came from, again, a story on MSN.com, and I don't know which actual establishment did that, because MSN Business Insider. That was from Business Insider. Haley says she had to build momentum after the blowout losses in New Hampshire and Iowa to a degree. She said that she had to do better in South Carolina than New Hampshire specifically, and she did not. In New Hampshire, she had 43.2% of the vote. Nevada, she got 30.5% of the vote. And in Nevada, remember, she was the only candidate running in the primary, and she still lost to none of these candidates. So South Carolina, she did better than in Nevada, but not she didn't surpass her goal, 43.2%. She only got 39.5%. And I would argue that at least 10% of that vote is from crossover votes and Democrats. You know, Trump took 60% of that vote. Again, easily a landslide in her home state. She's not dropping out, though. That's one of the outcomes of this, is that she's still going to run despite the beatdown. And traditionally, once you lose your home state, you're done. But again, 21 primaries over the next 10 days. I don't blame her for sticking it out. She's staying in hoping Trump's legal woes get to him or something happens to him. He dies. She's hoping for anything. Publicly, she says she's the best hope to beat Biden, along she's with the never-Trumpers establishment saying Trump can't beat Biden. She claims there are 70% of Americans who don't want another Biden-Trump rematch, and 60% of Americans who think Biden and Trump are both too old. I have to look at that polling specifically, because people twist the numbers. Yeah, I think they're both old. I'd rather have younger candidates. I don't care about a rematch. That's never who the opponent is for the candidate I'm rooting for, sure, you look at. But I find Biden easily beatable, and I'm not sure he's going to be there. I think they're purposely not doing Democrat primaries to get Biden there, and then they plan on making a change at the Democrat convention because the guy's dementia-ridden. I worked at the Alzheimer's Association for years, and I've dealt with dementia within the family, so I can directly speak to that. The man has dementia. How far he's gone, what kind, I don't know. But he has dementia. Again, she's looking to cement her role as the next in line for 2028 by sticking into the primaries. The problem is she's establishment. Look, between two establishment candidates in 2012 and 2016, John McCain lost 3 million voters who just didn't want him. Romney lost 5 million voters. They lost conservative voters. In two cycles, they lost 8 million conservative voters who chose to just either leave it blank or stay at home. So she's flat out lying. I also believe she's flat out lying when she says her 40% showings prove we don't want Trump. Again, she's lying because she's had as much as potentially, or she's had as much as 50% crossover votes with independents and Democrats. And in my belief, mostly Democrats. Democrats will call themselves independents again and not Democrats exit poll trackers. In fact, some parties tell them to do that. That's how ingrained, and this is hats off to the Democrats. That's how ingrained, that's how much they work and communicate with their voting base. The Republican Party in California, they're worthless. Nationally, they're worthless. I mean, look at Rona McDaniel. She was forced to resign because she was using donated money for her own pleasures. You know, media lies also help keep her alive. Sadly, look, the media, such as Ingrid Jacques, it's a report I read in preparing for this podcast, they help push the lies, fundraising lies. You know, Ingrid Jacques said that she still has strong fundraising from conservatives and Republicans. No, those aren't GOP donors enriching your campaign. Those are never Trumpers. Those are progressive donors, progressive big donors. The crossover voters are also Democrats. So she does not have 40% Republican vote. This is your classic false narrative. And look, it's a Democrat plantation wannabe overseer. That's what Ingrid Jacques is. You know? And the reason I say that, this is a quote from her when she was interviewing Haley. I asked Haley what she plans to do if Republicans aren't smart enough to choose her as their candidate. Now, she's a reporter. She's supposed to hold no bias, no favoritism, but Ingrid Jacques in that quote shows who she is, a Democrat plantation overseer who is supporting the Never Trump candidate. More media lies regarding polling being wrong. Both states were blowouts. This is what I read in her article. Although they notably failed to register her momentum in either South Carolina or New Hampshire, the last two competitive primary states. That was a quote given to John Bowden in that article I read. So look, I mean, they're quoting lies and they're trying to portray them as truths. Oh, that's a hat tip to the Michigan presidential primary election live updates and latest news, The Independent. That's a U.S. edition. It's an English paper. I apologize. That is not Ingrid Jacquet. She has nothing to do with, although they notably failed, it was a different article. I should have properly put the hat tip in my notes. So the proper hat tip is Michigan presidential primary election live updates and latest news by The Independent, the U.S. edition. The quote is to John Bowden. Although they notably failed to register her momentum in either South Carolina or New Hampshire, the last two competitive primary states. It's a complete lie. Crossover votes bolstered her numbers, and she was still blown out. Again, another false narrative, Trump versus Biden too. Nobody wants it. Most people don't care. The problem is that Democrats forced Biden onto us with no primaries. So this Trump versus Biden, it's a manufactured narrative created by a party that kept every other candidate, specifically Robert F. Kennedy Jr., off the Democrat ballot. So if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at a Democrat primary. You know, because the Republican constituency wants Donald Trump, and the Republican primaries and caucuses are proving that. So the media saying nobody wants it is a complete lie. Our primaries are showing Trump is destroying every other candidate that the Never Trumpers or establishment are offering up to us. So why is Haley staying in? Look, Libertarian Spike Cohen, I just came across it. I'm sure there's others. But he almost got it 100% right. I'll just correct one issue or one item. But he sits there and says she's raising millions of dollars directly for a campaign and PAC supporting her. And that's absolutely true. The longer she stays in, the more she raises. That's not true. It's not quite true. If her donors keep funding her and donations keep coming in, she'll stay in for the next campaign. There eventually comes a bloodletting where she's not bringing enough and then she starts going through a burn rate of the money at hand. Every campaign eventually hits on. So it's not necessarily true what Spike said, but he was close on. She'll stay in as long as the money keeps coming in. And the truth of the matter is she may be starting to look at those thresholds in terms of we're going to be entering a burn rate where we're burning more money than we're bringing in. When her campaign ends, all that money can be rolled into a PAC or nonprofit she runs. That's true as well. And on the off chance that Trump dies or is in prison, she'll be the last one standing. That is not necessarily true in the sense she still has to win the voters over. Again, 8 million voters lost between two tight cycles because of Never Trump Rhino candidates and Romney and McCain. And those weren't even close presidential elections. They were shellacked. The country doesn't care for a Never Trump or a Rhino Republican. Yeah. And a key statement of Cohen's post. Spike Cohen's post, raising money is a racket regarding how those monies are used after the campaign in terms of when her campaign ends, it can be rolled into a PAC or a nonprofit. So I'm sorry. So my point is that was a key portion of Spike Cohen's post. She's looking to put that money will help her become a kingmaker in other races, and it increases her clout in the party, you know, and again, she can use it for a future campaign. So there's a variety of reasons she's staying in, and none of them has to do with her ability to beat Donald Trump because she can't. She has no compelling reason to stop running because right now she has the money. But she is beginning to lose her funding as we all expected. Look, Haley started off February with $13 million in cash in hand. Her goal is simple. Hope Donald Trump's legal issues get her the nomination. Again, 3 million votes John McCain lost when he was a conservative presidential nominee. 5 million votes Mitt Romney lost. This is day of election voting when he became the nominee. I won't, and million of others will not vote for Haley. I will not vote for Nikki Haley, period. I will leave it blank. Maybe the elite GOP donors don't care if we lose another POTUS campaign. If that's the case, so be it. But she will never, ever have my vote. So, Americans for Prosperity Action ends their support. Look, hat tip to the Koch network. Stop spending on Nikki Haley's presidential campaign. That was political, as well as Nikki Haley faces a big blow to her 2024 presidential bid, the Hindustan Times. That's an India paper. Now, the American for Prosperity's Action network that was founded by the Koch brothers, now is just one Koch brother, Charles Koch. They hung on as long as they could because, look, they'd already made a commitment in early January with TV buys, and that was the reality. But then they spun it and lied and said they had a realistic hope that things would change. We all knew they wouldn't. Yeah. They no longer believe she has the path to victory. She's lost every primary or caucus by double digits. Let's see. They contacted 3 million voters. They spent millions in ads. And now they're going to focus on House and Senate races. I wrote it down. But I want to say they spent between 25 and 35 million on Nikki Haley overall since November of last year. But she still has support from the Super PAC, Stand for America Fund, Inc. You know, they're going to fund her if she stays in. They had $2 million on hand. They're currently spending about $500,000 in Michigan for her. Overall, they spent $20 million plus in 2024 on advertising for her. However, one of their bigger donors, Ken Griffin, a hedge fund manager, states he might end his contributing and focus on Senate and House races. Here's an important note. That SFA Fund, Inc., one of their big donors, donated $5 million, is a Ukrainian-American businessman, Jan Koum. It's not surprising, considering Nikki Haley is on the teat of the donor military-industrial complex class. You know, now, I don't know if this is true. This may just be an outright blatant lie. I don't know. We'll know when we see the federal numbers, is because public info. But they said after her loss in South Carolina, she amassed $1 million in less than 24 hours. Is it true or not? We don't know. Yeah. So the total delegate count. The goal is to get 1,215 delegates. Trump has 110, Haley has 20, DeSantis 9, and Ramaswamy 3. So let's look ahead. The primaries and caucuses before Super Tuesday, they have a caucus in Idaho, Michigan. It's an open caucus, Missouri, and North Dakota. And they have primaries in Michigan and Washington, D.C. Michigan has a convoluted system that awards delegates both for the primary vote and through caucuses at their convention. Then, so that's from February 27th, tomorrow, through March 4th. You have Super Tuesday on March 2nd. I'm sorry, March 5th. I believe it's March 5th. Let me double check that. That is correct, March 5th, not March 2nd. My apologies. Caucuses, Alaska, the American Samoa is open, the Utah caucus. So you have three caucuses. The primaries, you've got Alabama is open, Arkansas is open, California is mixed, which means both parties in California, because I know this, I live here, can vote in the primary. Colorado, it's mixed. Massachusetts is mixed. North Carolina, it's mixed. Tennessee is open, and Texas is open. Then you have Minnesota, Maine, and Oklahoma primaries, and the Utah caucus and Alaska caucus that are closed. The reason I bring these up is open primaries or caucuses, is because Haley will focus the most on where it's open. Her goal is to create the perception that she's competitive by using Democrat voters to bolster her numbers. That's been her strategy from day one. You know, and real quick, an open primary is a primary election where voters do not have to formally affiliate with a political party to vote. A closed party is the exact opposite. A closed primary part is a type of primary election in which a voter must affiliate formally before the election to participate. And a mixed primary, theoretically, a mixed primary aims to balance inclusivity, allowing independents to participate, and party loyalty, requiring registered party members to vote within their party. The reason this is all theoretical with that is the mixed primaries, each state tends to have their own quirky rules. You know, so on Super Tuesday, there's 189 potential delegates. Super Tuesday, 874 delegates. And there you have it, my friends. A complete blowout by Donald Trump, who is now the presumptive nominee. Haley is staying in for reasons not related to winning. It's that simple. We have more primaries this week. The Michigan, I'll be talking about the Michigan primary and a couple of other primaries. And then I will do a separate podcast to focus in on Super Tuesday. My friends, Donald Trump will be the presumptive nominee. Nikki Haley is doing a combination of grifting for power and enrichment and clout within the political party and to set herself up for future elections, not to win. And realize most of her voters, or a good chunk of her voters, are Democrats and independents. So, do not forget, my friends, you can catch this podcast as well as Fired Up. We have a breakdown of the Libertarian Convention. I'm on there as a guest. Our other political podcast. We have our Red, White, and Rude, our entertainment podcast. And we also have our Points on the Board, our sports podcast. You can find all of these at grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find us on YouTube and Rumble under the profile Grumblings Media, as well as traditional outlets, Spotify, Pandora, Google. Oh my gosh. And Apple. I had to think on that one. So until next time, my friends, I am William Del Pilar, your conservative Latino. And this is Fired Up. And until next time, I bid you adieu.